Five, I'm going to call meeting to order. Would you all stand, please? Thanks to flag. Veterans, if you'll salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, Elizabeth is not here, so Elaine, are you going to call the roll?
Sure. Perfect. Monica, roll.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. Just fighting this.
Tony Olivato.
He's present. He's right there.
Yep. Olivato.
Olivato.
Oh, excuse me.
H. Toner.
Yes. Sorry.
Confused me, Chuck.
He called me. It doesn't matter. If there's no excuse for that. No. It just asked.
What's the friend? Pusing? I'll let Chichinsky here. Meredith Chalimi. Scott Fake. Elaine Genaway. Ken Pigman. Shari Warren. Jim Levy. John Pointer.
Present.
Tony Rodella.
Ooh.
Dave Tetzloff.
Here.
And Evelyn Blas.
She's no longer on the committee. Monica, we can scratch her. We do not have a quorum, so we can discuss, but we can't take any action on items.
So we have two guests from the right here. Bill, if you'll introduce yourself.
Bill Sandlin, Irvine senior council member. Both of us. And like I say, both of us normally listen. If you ever have anybody that's listening, yeah, we're interested in what the senior council has to say to us. So, and I'll be recording if that's all right. So I can actually tell our senior, and also we have to report to our city council. My boss is kind of interested in what we're working on. And that's Mike Carroll.
Do you have any comments or anything you'd like to make, or just here to observe?
No, it seemed like you all do a great job. It's interesting just to hear what you all have to say. Especially what you, as far as hearing what you have to say about what's going up in Sacramento.
Your name, sir?
Yeah. My name is Myung Self. I'm with him. You know, in Irvine's, the citizens council. I mean, the region, two members are assigned to each of you, your subcommittee, and in the general session. So, as a good soldier, I'm here. I have take a note and go back and then report.
Thank you both for joining us. So last Friday was our general meeting, and today is our meeting of the committee. And this one is the senior citizen engagement committee. Okay, no public comments. Presentation. Somebody named John Pointer is going to speak to legislative update. Pauline, that's
I don't talk.
Okay. What I've provided for you here today is several different bits of information. In the center is Justice and Aging. That's a nonprofit group that's nationwide. We interact with the group in Sacramento. They do a wonderful job of summarizing the legislation impacting seniors each year. The issue is it's not 100% complete. They rely on the senior organizations that participate in their Master Plan for Aging Ledge Committee to make submissions. Well, if you're not a member of that, you aren't submitting. Now, CDA, California Department of Aging, has a department that also tracks legislation. Now, the problem with that is anything that suggests that there might be a senior issue is tracked. Well, okay, that could be a small part of a much larger legislative proposal. So it might be transportation impacting the state involving all citizens. Okay, well, seniors fall in that, but that's a small element of the bill. So we don't necessarily track that. And then there are several organizations we interact with that also track legislation. One of them is C4A. C4A is the nonprofit that was stood up to represent the AAAs. Every area agency in California is a member of the C4A. There are some AAAs that are separate entities. They contract with the city, so they're, or with the county. So they're not necessarily a government organization. They're a nonprofit performing services. So they may or may not belong to the AAA. So there's 33 PSAs, and I'd estimate somewhere around 25 to 28 are belong to the C4A. Now, C4A doesn't generate legislation like CSL does. They just merely interact with a legislator when they've got an issue, and it's sort of like a lobbyist. And they say, I want more funding for the nutrition program, or we've got an issue here, and I think we need legislation to change it. The other organization that falls in that category is the Collaborative. It's shortened for the California Collaborative for Long-Term Services and Supports, the acronym LTSS. They are 60 to 80 members strong, and across the state represent every imaginable nonprofit involved with issues of services and support, and also there's a significant element involved with disabled persons issues. They're a significant voice in California in the aging community. The last element there is the commission, California Commission on Aging. The commission and CSL were one element decades ago. Okay. Then in the turn of the century, they had a falling out and they parted ways. So when you look at the tax checkoff and you see Senior Citizen Special Fund, that's the commission. That's where we were at one point in time. When we split off, we lost the number two position on the tax checkoff. That's another story for another event. So we interact with the commission. They typically will identify legislation that they're supporting, but they're much more program oriented, like CDA, California Department of Aging. So the CSL is in the extremely unique position, California Senior Legislature, of being able to draft what they call legislative proposals. So a lobbyist can draft a legislative proposal, go find a legislator and see if they want to get the legislator on board and they'll pick it up. What is unique about us is we have the ability to go to Leg Council. Here's our proposal. They put it in bill language and we're able to lay something on a legislator's desk that basically says, here you go. All you have to do is pick it up. The lobbyist is then attempting to get the legislator to buy in and then interact at the legislator's behest with Ledge Council to turn that into a bill. We get draft language in July. Bills start being drafted in the legislature in February and March. Okay, so there's about an 8-month difference in terms of what goes on. So Pauline is going to send you an email with the Justice and Aging information that you will simply click on where it says get the 2023 list of bills, and you'll see the entire list of bills by MPA category. 5 goals. Okay. We will ultimately take our report, which we used to generate monthly. Then we got smart and said, well, why don't we just put the bill, the Ledge Info link on the report, and you click it, and you can have the most up-to-date information rather than we're usually 30 days behind when we print this. So bingo. All you have to do is click the link, and it will take you to the bill. You've got the exact language and the history. So Ledge Info will give you the text of the bill. It will give you the history of the bill, where it's at in committee. It will give you the status of the bill. What it will also do, which is really important in my world, it gives you the analysis of the bill as it moves through each committee. So each committee has a consultant or consultants. That individual's task is to provide the members of that committee with an analysis of that bill. And they will go through and identify what it's trying to do. It will go through and it will also identify if there's any fiscal issues or costs associated. And another important, who's supporting it and who isn't. Okay, so you want to find out who your friends and who your not your friends are in the process. So, give you a better idea of, well, maybe I need to be doing some negotiations. And maybe I need to contact so-and-so and find out what is the issue with the bill for you. So very, very important. So as the bill moves through each committee, a new analysis is performed. Now, that doesn't mean that they start over. In many instances, they simply take the last one and update it. Okay. The closer you get to the Appropriations Committee, so if there's a cost associated with that bill, it's going through the Appropriations Committee, either Assembly or Senate. You get more finite information about fiscal costs. And that is where the governor's office weighs in through the Department of Finance. And you will see detailed information from the Department of Finance on that bill as well and its impact. So I urge you, if you're interested, click on the Justice and Aging website and take a look at the, there's over 30 bills identified in there. I believe CDA has identified close to 50. And CSL starts with 10. We call that our legislative priorities. In the inner circle, we refer to it as the top 10. So the CSL members generate legislative proposals that are submitted to headquarters by, starts out the first Friday of the month and slips to the middle of the month. So it's a technique. Legislative proposals are due by Friday, June 3rd. And then you go out with an amendment saying, by the way, you got another, we're gracious, you got another 10 days. You know, it's now the third, so it gives you a little more latitude.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Legislative, the report that you asked me to send out, does that include all senior bills or just the ones that CSL is sponsoring?
All senior bills that were submitted to Justice and Aging. Okay. They don't go through Ledge Info and attempt to identify every bill. CEA does, but they don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to be a long list.
Yes. Yes. So then, once the legislative proposals are submitted to CSL, and we go through a process of identifying them, categorizing them by our policy committees, because ultimately they are heard at our annual session. I'm not going to go into the policy committees too much because it's a whole different process that ultimately is only a technique for breaking people up to allow them to vote. Okay, so on your list here, you'll notice that I've identified then the bills presently going through committee in this legislative cycle. AB 478, wildfires. Now, I made a mistake. There's also AB 482 for wildfires. So they Assemblymember Connolly split the original proposal into two bills. One deals with insurance, one deals with a tax credit. At the hearing for AB 482, which is the tax credit, the committee pushed back and said, you know, in this current fiscal climate, I'm not sure we can afford a tax credit. Have you thought about grants? So we'll see where that goes. Grants, there's a lot of, in my world, there's a lot of issue around grants. There's a lot of fewer people that are going to participate in a grant than they are if all you got to do is take your tax return and identify your expenses and take a tax credit. So anyway, the insurance piece hasn't been heard yet, so we'll see. But that's going to be a gauntlet as well. The insurance industry is probably going to come out after that, like no tomorrow. AB 1036, healthcare coverage, emergency medical transport. Basically, what we're trying to do there is get emergency personnel to acknowledge that the ambulance service was needed for a Medicare coverage rather than they get into I'll call it a debate about whether the ambulance service was a necessary need, whether the senior, older Californian, was able to get themselves to the hospital themselves rather than utilizing a ambulance. So we're attempting to clean that up a little bit more. SB 17 is now SB 657. This has been changed. The bill title is now Governor's Military Council. And as far as I can tell, it has nothing to do with veterans housing now. So it was gutted. Yeah. So which we have asked the legislative aide to give us an update. What happened? That was a week ago before nothing. So we'll see whether they get back to us. Okay. SB 431, grandparents. I think this is big. I think this is important because the fentanyl epidemic is really having a significant impact on families. And what is happening is the child of the parent, I'll refer to as grandparent, runs into difficulties and can no longer support, or the children are at risk. And the grandparents step in and either simply bring them in to the home and begin to raise them, or they pursue guardianship or adoption. Whether you pursue guardianship or adoption has a lot to do with where your socioeconomic status is in the county or in the state. If you don't have the resources to afford an attorney in order to get navigate that system, which the individual that authored this particular proposal is going through this very thing, I think their legal costs are over $15,000 right now. So not a lot of people are able to afford that. So they simply bring the child or children into the home and make it work. They're not covered under their insurance plan. Their income from retirement doesn't change. Now, you'll probably be able to get a deduction on your taxes, but it does help. Okay, that's something, but that's not going to cover a lot of expenses that you're going to incur. Yes. So we're asking for a study, which is a good choice, because I think what it allows is to get all the parties together and then come up with recommendations within that then allow for changes to be either made through program or policy or through legislation. And both the Department of Justice and the California Department of Aging are being asked to participate in that study. So we'll see where that goes. And as you can see, we have a local elected official and Senator Wynn involved with that. So I got my fingers crossed. SB 535, patient discharge summary. That is stalled. I don't believe that's going to go anywhere. The American Hospital Association, Senator Wynn's office, and the CSL member had several meetings and could not agree that the information is already provided in a discharge report. So, we'll leave it at that. And so we're going to go back and revisit that again next year and start over again. Nothing new to report on a resolution involving Ageism Awareness Week, which will hopefully arrive just in time for Senior Rally Day, because the panel that we've assembled is talking about equity and specifically ageism and ableism. So it would be nice to have the resolution there to point to as well. So I've referenced just the CSL report as well. That's going to be distributed later today when Pauline sends out the Justice and Aging document. And what I'd also like to bring to your attention is that Senior Rally Day, May 2nd, is an AM and a PM program. The AM program involves a series of speakers that talk about the master plan. We have the chair of the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee presenting, giving us her vision. She's brand new. What is her vision for aging in the state? And I've already told you about the panel discussion. In the afternoon, there is then a series of meetings between the authors of specific bills and anyone that elected to join in that afternoon program. So it's virtual, so there's, you don't have to be there personally. So it gives you an opportunity because it's just continuous. It isn't going from one Zoom room to another. It's just you're in a meeting. Last time we had close to 150 people. And basically, the author, so let's take 431, SB 431. That would probably either be Senator Wynn or her legislative aide presenting their position, where they stand on SB 41. And you, as a participant, get a chance to interact with that legislator or their representative and either make your voice heard or raise concerns or provide support saying this is something we really have to get done. So that will run from 1 to 3:30. So we do them in 15-minute increments. So we'll probably get through 10 or 12 bills.
What time does the AM start?
Excuse me?
What time does the AM?
So the 9 to 10 portion of the program is something like you would experience when you go to a convention in person. There's exhibitors. There are video messages from legislators. And there are sponsor logos. That's just sort of an opportunity to wander around, check things out, and get ready. If you're in that 9 to 10, you'll go to the 10 a.m. program that begins with, again, opening remarks by the chair of the Aging and Long-Term Care. And then we've asked Senator Alvarado Gill of the Committee on Human Services, and also we've asked Assemblymember Arandola, who's the chair of the subcommittee number 3 for the Assembly budget, to speak as well. And then we've got the director for the CDA, California Department of Aging, Susan Damaris, giving us an update on the master plan for aging. Then we have the collaborative speaking, and then we move into the panel discussion around equity, chaired by or moderated by the equity officer for CDA.
So are we going to get an email or something as to where we can sign in?
Absolutely.
Over Zoom? Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. I'll send that to Paulette again, and she can send that out again.
I think I kind of remember seeing it. It was last week, right?
I think maybe the week before. Okay. I can resend it.
Well, sometimes I get a little confused what I'm supposed to be following, so that's why I'm asking these questions.
Okay. I should pull it, and then just as an aging docs, you want that to go to the police.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
We can send the flyer. I'll send you the flyer to go out. Everybody got to get to
it. I haven't.
Okay, great.
Can I ask a question? On the SB 17, I see that it always says affordable and something, you know, affordable senior housing. Why does it not say low income? Because affordable, from the places I've looked at, I don't know who can afford it. I'm sure a small percentage, but the majority of people, I don't see them ever getting that. So why do they put affordable when it should be really low income? In my opinion, I mean, that's
what I
thought.
I don't know if I have an answer for that.
Okay.
Right. It's I guess it's wordsmithing.
Well, you know, again, affordable in somebody's eyes is not necessarily affordable in the majority. And I mean, I know a lot of people who are looking for places, and they have, there's no way anybody can afford that. They don't even make enough Social Security for that.
And just a reminder, SB 17 became SB 657, and 657 no longer is entitled senior housing. They gutted it. They gutted it. And they made it governor's military council. So it has nothing to do with senior housing.
Okay, so why does that happen? I mean, who has that thought process to change it? It's from the governor?
In this case, Senator Caballero decided they couldn't make the issue of senior housing work. So they decided to go in a different direction. And they went instead with the governor's military council. So they examined the issue, and either they couldn't get enough support, or someone told them, I think that's already addressed. Okay, you didn't do enough research, CSL. I think this issue is already covered under veterans housing or section, I think it's section 8.
Section.
Housing.
Section 8 isn't always available.
So there's no issue here. I don't know specifically. All I can tell you at this point is it's no longer senior housing. They've decided they already had the bill number. All they had to do was take the bill, the shell, and use it for something else. So they pushed it aside saying that issue doesn't exist. It's already covered. We're going with this one instead.
So do we go back to them and tell them that they got to fight?
That's what I'm trying to do. I noticed that.
Again, this is a learning curve.
Right. So I noticed 657 was no longer. So, you know, you can tag Ledge Info to send you alerts on every bill that you want to track. Well, I noticed the title changed when I got an alert. So I checked it out and said, okay, well, that's not what we submitted. So I went to the legislative aide for Senator Wynn's office and said, hello, can you give me an update? It doesn't look like SB 17 or SB 657 has anything to do with veterans housing anymore. I haven't heard back.
You just go into that Ledge Info.
You can track
it into that, and you can find a lot of information. I think once you get into it, there's a lot of information there.
Well, I'm learning.
Just
I know you are all very knowledgeable on this, and I appreciate that. I mean,
let me qualify that. We probably have more knowledge than you. I don't know. If you're ever.
Super.
It's amazing how much you learn on a daily basis.
Oh, I agree with you.
You think you're pretty sharp, and there's always something that comes around to knock you down a peg and say, "Okay, well."
Let me help you with your question on the affordable aspect. Affordable housing. It has been my experience in the past that affordable can normally, when they say affordable housing, they use the state's minimum wage index and the federal to define what affordable
that's
is.
The issue.
Yeah, and John's right. It's a question of semantics, you know, in terms of the wording. You know, low income versus affordable. I think they draw the numbers from the same source.
And I don't disagree with you. I just think that's the wrong way to do it, because when they do that, somebody who could use food stamps for that, and this is the $21 or something like that.
That's the same across the board.
And it's across the board on many things.
Yeah.
And it's not new. Okay. Yep. So those are just things to me. I think that it's hurting a lot of people.
It's the same. We heard it on Friday at the meeting on Medi-Cal. Like if you're $2 above the qualification,
you can't get it.
You know, so, or you go back and you redo your budgeting and your expenses and, you know, there's ways, I believe, that you can, you know.
No, you can't.
Okay.
The reason is because you're going by what you're getting. And maybe I'm wrong. I might be totally wrong on that. But just from different things with different people in that.
Yeah.
So.
The last item I'd like to leave you with is CSL also provides letters of support on legislation that they did not originate. However, it involves a senior issue that we support. So there are 38 bills that CSL has identified that involve senior issues that their Ledge Committee and Joint Rules Committee, JRC, have approved letters of support for. They're meeting, the Ledge Committee is meeting today and the JRC is meeting on Thursday to consider, I think, three more. So it'll be over 40 bills that CSL will provide letters of support. So, and we'll go out with an email and I'll provide you with a full list at some point on that. So that's the legislative process, and that gives you a idea of what happens between January and August in regards to legislation. Of course, right now we're also watching closely to see what the budget is going to look like. The May revise is going to be generated, of course, in early part of May. So we'll see. Right now, the governor in January released his budget with the statement that he was hoping it was going to get better. Well, it's not. So, and that's all driven by tax revenue. And the system we have in place. So if the high income earners aren't reporting more taxes, then tax revenue goes down because I think this is right. 50% of the population don't pay taxes in California. Okay. The vast majority of tax revenue is from the 10% at the high income level. Now, don't quote me on that. I've had to go back and get the exact figures, but that's pretty darn close. It's federally, it's pretty close as well, I think. Okay. So anyway, now that doesn't mean when I say, let me qualify that. The tax tables for individuals begin at a certain level where less than 50% fall under the taxable income level. Okay. So I'll qualify that. So I don't want you to think we've got a massive under-reporting or non-payment of taxes issue. It's just that the system is devised in a manner that they do not qualify to pay taxes. Okay. Are there any questions on the presentation? Seeing none, we are now at our subcommittee reports. Excuse me, at item 7, chair items. I have no old business. I have no new business. Subcommittee report. Item A, digital divide subcommittee. Dave, do you have anything to share with us?
No, not at this time. As far as what's happening under the master plan, I haven't heard anything. Subcommittee that they had for the digital divide. And I'm not sure if we, as this committee needs to report, because it's my understanding that one of the other subcommittees has taken that subject matter up under their goals.
Yes.
How is that affecting, you know, is it a duplication of effort? So I've got enough on my agenda not to be.
I'm sure you do. No, I will tell you, I did get a request from one of the committee members for stats on the iPads that we are using here for to help bridge the digital
right,
divide.
Right, and that's where we would have gone, I think, for our subcommittee. Yeah.
Right.
To see what's that.
I have the information. I just got it late Friday afternoon. However, I do have some questions on it. So I don't want to disperse it to the council until I get my questions clarified.
Okay.
You know, answered. And get some clarification on it.
Could you send me a copy?
It'll go to the whole council.
Okay.
It will go to the whole council. And it's basically kind of to see and identify what seniors, how many seniors have iPads, and are they using them, or are they just sitting in a drawer?
Right.
You know, or could they be better used somewhere else? If someone says, hey, I thought it was going to be a good idea, but I'm not using it as much as I thought it would be, give it back and let somebody in need use it. So, but I do have a couple of questions, and it was like, what apps are on the iPad? What are they using the iPad for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as well.
And this is, I think, questions that we would have had if we would have suggested
yeah.
a survey,
right.
which you know, I think you're conducting
That's,
internally. And
it's been conducted on several levels. I mean,
right.
for, you know, the master plan for aging for Orange County. That is one of the issues that's listed in a whole litany of issues that we're going to be conducting a needs assessment on, you know, to try and assess, you know, where the divide is,
mm.
What's the gap? Is it the actual physical device? Is it the data plan? Is it the lack of training? Is it all of those combined? You know,
and I
so,
think the economy is taking a strong evaluation of that. And
yes,
I just didn't want to push the button. And, with change in management and everything like
yeah.
that, it was just.
I will tell
let
you.
Let things get back to normal, and now if the other committee is taking that over, I don't see
the need. You're talking about well-being reimagined,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I thought what was it? Two, 3 months ago, I said they more or less if your committee dormant.
Well, that's been my take on it.
Yeah.
I signed up for the master plan development on that.
Okay.
That
good.
Subcommittee.
Good.
But I haven't heard anything from that.
Where we are on the master plan for aging right now, we are still in the process of getting, there's going to be several phases as to when people, certain groups and key stakeholders will be involved. And the first phase right now is dealing with key stakeholders like providers to the county. Chunk and not just the county, nonprofits, mm-hmm. right across the board. So we're putting together like a questionnaire for them to be interviewed, and this we've got to outline all of those questions. We're working with Advance OC, which is the county's consultant on the project. So that's kind of all in place right now. The next phase coming closer to probably, I would say, we're skipping the summer because of vacations and stuff. So to maximize the amount of people, I think we're going to go into August for the community surveys and the individual surveys to go out. And there'll be several workshops where you'll get individual perspectives as opposed to organizational perspectives on how they're dealing with, you know, issues related to seniors around Orange County. So that's where we're at. I know bridging the digital divide is definitely there because I just looked at it on Friday on that's the questions that I got. And it's dealing with it in several different layers.
And I know, what was the county committee that they had? There was a digital divide subcommittee for, I can't remember the acronyms now, that was done by 1OC. And other organizations, they had subcommittees for it. Was kind of pre-master plan for
your Orange County strategic plan on aging. Is that the one you're talking about? OC Spa?
Yeah.
OC Spa. Yeah. They did, they came out with their data report on that. And ours will be kind of taking some of that information, not all of it, and then encompassing like everything else around it. But it's a Herculean task. It really is. Not just, that's just one topic out of several. that we're looking at, you know, so
okay.
It will take some time.
So I think, you know, John, I'm not sure what the status would be for subcommittee here.
If you're done.
I will keep the committee informed. I can do that under the comment section. If there's anything to report, but as far as an agenda item, I don't think that would be necessary.
And then he's on your subcommittee. Did the subcommittee form from this committee?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's just Tony and I.
Okay.
Alavado.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've just been biding our time. But.
Yeah. Okay. Well, once I get the answers to my questions on this report, I'll be sending it out to all of you so everyone has it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Elizabeth is not here, so we have no report for the Elder Abuse Subcommittee. And I'm not sure at the next meeting, I guess we'd like to get a little more who participates in that subcommittee,
mm-hmm.
Besides Elizabeth being the chair, and what are they trying to do? Where are they going? I think it's a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It shows a lot of important information. I just think we want a little bit more information. I know Evelyn participates in the FAST group. That's the, I really remember what the acronym stands for, but they basically are looking at elder and financial abuse. Yeah. So trying to get some more information on that as well. But I'm reluctant to get too far ahead of the process that's occurring where Gene has informed us that they're looking at the various committees and considering restructuring the committees. So I don't want to get too involved in something only to have it wind up no longer being relevant to whatever this committee's role is.
And that must be under the executive committee.
Yes.
It is. Which, I haven't got to them yet.
Which in the future I'll be participating too, so I can get an update. Meredith could always give an update to me. At this point in time, I can participate in the executive committee.
So let me just clean up one thing here. So I went and did a little check here just to make sure I'm not too far off base. The richest 1% of California taxpayers pay the largest share of their income state and local taxes, 12.3%. 20% of the filers with the lowest income pay the next highest share, 11.4%. Okay, so it's dispersed. Okay, so anyway, I'll leave that alone. Just bigger hole problem. I have nothing to report on legislative tracking that I didn't cover in my presentation on legislative update. I have no information on new membership. And we're now at that section of the agenda where are there any announcements that anyone would like to bring to the attention of the committee? I'll reiterate again, Senior Rally Day, May 2nd. 9 a.m. to 10 is sort of a overview. The program begins at 10, takes a break for lunch, restarts again at 1 p.m., in which there are, again, a series of legislative bills that are presented by the author, the legislator, or his staff member to those in attendance. We are currently, as of last Friday, at 425 registrants. So I'm projecting we'll hit 600. Cody.
Yeah, you know, I used to be one of the members that did object, but my concern was that I prefer the
in person,
no. And everything. But after when we started reaching out more people, I gave it a thorough thinking, and he said, "Yeah, well, you know, we had some groups that just went out there and just were a party then.
Right.
Right. And really paying any attention. Right. And so I think you reach more people through Zoom than here. So.
And fortunately or unfortunately, the Capitol lawns are really, really restricted now in terms of access. Much of it is fenced off as a result of the renovation of the annex. And we'll be that way for a considerable time. So considerable time means that they're projecting that they'll take 5 years to complete the renovation of the annex. So, you know, whatever your experience is with government contracts, okay, you either say, okay, well, I'll either finish early, on time, or late. Okay, I'm going with late.
Yeah.
Okay, but
just double.
So we'll see. The annex allegedly will be completely level. They're going to build a massive underground parking lot underneath there and then build the structure on top of that, is what I understand. So it's just a reminder, if the annex was a problem because it's not ADA compliant, okay, you cannot get to the sixth floor. There is asbestos everywhere. The restrooms are dated, historical looking, but dated. And I can just, communication systems inside are antiquated. It just goes on and on. So anyway, and it was only built, I think, in 1975 or 79. So it's not that old for government buildings. Of course, you could say the same for the ziggurat.
Yes, ziggurat's been around forever.
So, are there any other announcements? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for attending.